SBS Radio.
Hello, welcome back to NITV Radio. Well, what happens when a 32-year-old, probably 33 now,
35, can you 35. Believe it?
Oh, jeez. Done my research, Mon. First-generation Australian woman decides to chuck in a dream job, pack a sleeping bag and tent, and hit the long, dusty road for 6 months. 30,000 kilometres later, Monica Tan has the answer, and it completely surprises her, and she joins me now on NITV Radio. Hello, Monica.
Hey, good to be here.
Now, when I first met you, sis, I think it was up at Gama many, many moons ago.
That place is amazing.
You were... The Guardian mob hit us up for some vision, and we were quite accommodating because you were the Guardian, so we thought, yeah, we'll help you out. And I think I met you another time, maybe in Moree, when you're on the Freedom Rides bus.
I mean, what incredible places we get to go because of our jobs. It's such a privilege.
So you were a pretty amazing journo back in the day and probably still are.
Accomplished
author now. So what made you decide to pack up your kit and caboodle and head out to the real Australia?
Yeah, it's kind of a roundabout story. I think the genesis of the story actually started when I was in China, of all places. So if you can't tell from my accent, I'm born and bred Aussie.
Yeah.
But I'm born to Chinese Malaysian immigrants. And like so many people like me, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't care about my Chinese culture. Like, it just didn't mean anything to me. I was surrounded by white people and, you know, I was kind of like a self-hating Asian, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then it was only when I got older I realized, oh, no, wait a minute. My culture is really important and I don't know enough about it. So I lived in China for a few years. It was amazing. I was intoxicated by the place. I loved learning my own language and there are many languages in China. I loved the culture. I loved the history. I feel like Australia just doesn't appreciate any of those things. And it was really extraordinary to go there and realize, wait a minute, this stuff is awesome. And I don't know anything about Australia, and I don't know anything about Australian culture and the Australian native indigenous cultures and the Australian indigenous languages, I've never even traveled my country. I don't even know what it looks like. And yeah, that was kind of a real wake up call for me.
And what did you find on you? Because you went to some amazing places, right? It freaks me out. And you travel a lot for work anyway when you're a journo. But to do it as a young lady by yourself, traveling to all these different places, you know, you've traveled 30,000 kilometres or more. What were some of the places that stood out for you on the journey and some of the characters?
I mean, the driving was insane. It was like, I think I averaged 200 Ks a day. I might've done like 1,000 Ks in one day. So that's a lot of bush. You're seeing a lot of nature, a lot of, long empty roads.
A lot of time to think.
But mainly a lot of time to really connect to country, connect to the land. You know, I guess my memories are of the towering River Red Gums on the Murray River. They're of the windswept hills in South Australia. They're of the incredible red rocks of Central Australia. They're of those sapphire blue waters up in Broome. They're of the, you know, those dripping wet rainforests in Cairns. I think I really... If there was anything I'm going to take away from this trip, it's the fact that I know what the country looks like now, you know, and no one's ever going to be able to take that away from me. I know what it smells like. I know what it feels like to walk it. I know what it feels like to taste it because I went fishing in a few places and I ate lots of sometimes native animals. With the right permissions.
Well, NITV, the right place to eat some native animals. Don't worry about that. And we won't go into the green stuff on that, but hey.
Yeah. Don't tell any vegetarians listening. So, you know, I think that all those places I feel like they're part of who I am now. Mm-hmm. And you know, weirdly, not that many Australians can say that. And they certainly can't say it until they sort of retire and they take that big, some of them decide to do this kind of trip. But I saw so few young Australians. So I know how unusual it is.
What's some of the big lessons you learnt on your journey? Because I know that you spoke to everybody, you know. I'll read a line here, actually, because it sums up me too. But she shared meals, beers and conversations with miners, grey nomads, artists, farmers, community workers and small business owners from across the nation. Some Aboriginal, some white, some Asian, and even a few who managed to be all three. I'm all, one of all three. Yeah. So I just had to read that line out. But it's a cross-section of Australians that you spoke to, not only our mob, but whitefellas, you know, all sorts of different sorts.
Yeah. You know, I think that by the end of it, I just had no idea how complex and diverse and rich Australia is, because the picture that we have of Australia in our minds, the sort of projected popular culture version of Australia, just does not reflect what we all experience on the streets. So I knew Australia, I knew Sydney was multicultural.
Mm.
I had no idea, you know, that up in Darwin, which used to be called Palmerston in the late 1800s, Chinese people outnumbered Europeans 4 to 1, you know? So if you were up there back then, you were better off speaking Cantonese or Hokkien than you were speaking English. Like, yep. That's mental.
The best laksa I've ever had is in Darwin.
Oh, like, yeah. They have amazing Asian food.
They do. And that's because of that rich history of Asian culture that they have up there.
Exactly. And you go to Broome and, you know, you meet, I met a guy who had Yawuru, which is the local Broome traditional owners. He had Malay and he had Irish blood in him, you know, and he was proud of all three, and he could, you know, he had little bits of the culture of all three of them. It was like a real stir fry mix. And that town, it's completely like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had no idea. I had no idea all these, you know, we have this sort of monochrome version of the Australian outback and regional Australia. And in fact, multiculturalism, you know, was part of the Australian story all through the 1800s and it still is today.
Yeah, particularly in the top end where you're speaking about, and you had the Afghan Khmer come through in the early 1800s. Mm. There's a big Greek community in Kupipedia of all places.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Some of the best Greek you'll ever eat. If you go to Kupipedia, it's a Greek restaurant there.
No way.
It's amazing. It freaked us out. But one of the things, was there any scary moments on your travels? I mean, you know, there's so much stuff going on around, you know, the treating women with respect and, you know, bad things happening to our sisters out there, that's for sure. But is there any scary moments and thought you thought, maybe I should turn back?
Yeah. It's funny because I don't really write about that in the book. I just couldn't fit everything in.
Yeah.
But I've never felt so self-conscious as a woman as I did on the road. Like when I'm in Sydney, I just don't get any attention at all. Whereas out there, I think I was such an odd sight, you know, Chinese Australian woman wandering the outback on her own. People were like, what the hell are you lost?
What are you doing here, mate?
But, you know, when I say that, people were actually really concerned and really caring. At the same time, I got hit on a lot, and to the point where it was really strange to me, really shocking. I got really sick of it sometimes. Like I remember at one point I'm like, I need to just get out bush and camp on my own because I'm sick of the attention. And you know, usually these men would be polite, but sometimes there were inappropriate comments.
Yeah, I read a little bit of part in your book there, the 14-year-old. It was pretty confronting.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a kid, so, you know, you've got to forgive kids. But I had one guy who was, like, in his 40s, and he just directly asked me if I wanted to have sex with him. It was the morning, and I was fishing on a pier, and he just out of the blue asked if I want to have sex with him. I'm like,
just like asking someone for a cup of coffee in the morning.
Nonchalant. Like that. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And there was this one moment where I was in this amazing place. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's, do you know the historical character Jandamara?
Yeah.
I mean, not character, he's a person from our history, and he's got this amazing story. I was so...
Jandamara's War.
Yeah, I was so excited to go to this place where he had basically shootouts with the police, and it was this incredible cave system. And, yeah, I kind of felt like I was being followed by this guy. And it was really freaky because it was this really dark cave system and I had no idea what was going on. But at the same time, yeah, nothing really came of it. And I often look back on that and I go, was I being paranoid? You know, was that really happening? And I think when you're a woman traveling on your own, you sort of wrestle with that. Like you wrestle with this guilt that you might be, you know, imposing certain thoughts about people when it's not there. And at the same time, you kind of think, well, I don't want to be stupid.
Yeah, you got to be on guard.
Yeah.
You got to be aware.
But I hate that I have to be on guard.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Men.
Not all men, though. Yeah, it's
not
true.
Not all of us are bad, AJP. No. We go right. But what message do you want people to take away when they read this book?
You know, I think every artist is going to say they don't want to dictate what people are going to take away from it. But I guess in a sort of, I guess one of my main aims is that people see that the reality of Australia is so much more diverse and inclusive than what we think. And it's just been marginalised. So the stories of my people, Chinese Australians, the story of Indigenous Australians, the story of so many non-white Australians, women as well, and all kinds of people who have just not traditionally been in positions of power, their stories as well have been pushed aside. So we have this warped idea of Australian history and the Australian story that doesn't actually reflect reality. Mm. And I hope that my book is like one small little star in that universe of new stories that are coming out and changing that.
Yep, and it is Voice Treaty Truth this year, the theme for NAIDOC. So truth-telling is a big part of our year in Aboriginal Australia, so that goes along with that theme as well.
Fantastic theme. We definitely need more of that.
Okay, I need you to take your author hat off now and put your politician hat on, because I believe this travel, this journey and this book have inspired you to go on into a potential career into politics.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm running for the Greens in the federal seat of Barara. And I, you know, I think it was really inspired by my trip. And, you know, part of one of the biggest feelings that I had as I was coming back to Sydney at the end of my trip was a great feeling of love and connection for my country. And, you know, I think we have I saw so many dark things about Australia, so many dark chapters. I heard so many dark stories from colonialism. I saw the ugliest parts of our country, and it never once made me turn away. In fact, if anything, it made me feel closer to Australia. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like sitting down at the table and hearing some really terrible stories from your family member or from your best friend, things that you'd never realised before. And the response you should have isn't to go, well, you're disgusting, you're terrible, I don't want to know this. It's sort of to say, thank you for sharing this with me, and we're on this journey together. So that sort of was a wake-up call for me to realise that even though I'm a non-Indigenous Australian and we have so much work to do in terms of reconciling with Indigenous Australia and reconciling with the land, with the stories of the land, with how we live on the land, it's my problem too. It's not just a white person's problem to deal with. I was born here. I'm planned to live here forever. So, you know, there's a responsibility for me to get up and say something and do something. And politics just happened to, you know, be the right avenue for me. It's not for everyone, but I feel like, yeah, that just sort of, it sort of came that way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. How do you think you go up there, Barara, because it's pretty sort of liberal sort of area, isn't it? Traditionally up in the north sort of shore there.
Yeah. For those of you who remember Philip Ruddock, he was our MP. I'm trying to fill his shoes, and he's actually my mayor now, which is really weird as well. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's not an area that has had anything other than a straight white man represent them at state and federal levels. And yet at the same time, you know, I'm sort of quietly optimistic that our residents can see the Liberal Party have just been doing a really rubbish job. So Yeah, we'll see if that is reflected in the polls.
Is there any blackfellas up there, any blackfella constituents up in Barara?
There is. There's this really wonderful group called the Hornsby Area Residents for Reconciliation. And there's a woman called, really interesting woman called Mariko Smith. She's of mixed heritage, including Yuin heritage.
Yep.
And she's appearing at my launch, which is tonight at the Vanguard. She does
nice
some,
plug. Nice
yeah,
plug there.
I know. Smooth, right? And she does some really interesting work at the Australian Museum. She's grappling with how that institution will tell the story of Captain Cook next year. So it's been really great to have, you know, to show her the book and talk to her about some of the themes, because I think a lot of it resonates with her as someone with, she also has Japanese, so Asian as well as Indigenous and European heritage.
Like we are, like you said, we are a big stir fry, a lot of us. I'd be a kangaroo stir fry with a side of Guinness. That'd be me. On that note, Monica, we're running out of time, but you can pick up Stranger Country, I'm sure, in all good bookshops. I've always wanted to say that on radio. Hey?
Yeah.
Hey?
I think that's definitely true.
And the book launch is tonight at the Vanguard. You can go along and check it out. And yeah, it's a worthwhile read. And good luck with politics. The more diversity, and especially women in federal politics, we can get in this country, will only make us better. So thanks for your time.
Thanks. sbs.com.au